This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, Andy Bunker. As we live it for the weekend, got a little balmy morning after yesterday sitting down there.
Weird weather.
Man, I got home yesterday sniffling and coughing. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? Got home and I'm like, let me go lay myself down, man. I'm like, I ain't finna let Atlanta United get me sick. Yeah, you know I mean, I ain't let them get me sick. You know, I'm too, I got too much on me.
It was a little cold out there
yesterday, man. But
it was okay at first, and then the wind picked up, and it was just damp out. But yeah, it was a great time out there.
But yeah,
really
great
fun
time.
Being out
but
there.
But I'm all good. I just need some sleep. That's all it was. I chalked up, woke up this morning feeling spry and springy. So, you know, spry and springy Randy. You know what time that is. Spry and springy on a hump day.
Spry. Ooh. All right.
Yeah. Spry and springy on a hump day,
kids
baby.
Kids might get picked up late this afternoon, huh? Spry and springy. That's what you want.
Yeah, dog.
That's what you're looking
man.
For.
Yeah, yeah. We are getting ready for this weekend as, you know, not the best as far as ball weekend as Georgia plays UMass. Falcons obviously off this weekend. But, yeah, I'm interested, you know, like you were talking about Dave, because, I mean, Dave, I don't think anybody – where can you find any positivity out of what happened Sunday?
Did they not get hurt much or something?
Other than Youngway Koo hitting two field goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's all pretty, you know,
that's all
pretty tongue in cheek. That's the expectation, right? I don't know. I mean, it's a really, really bad performance. I think the Steak and Sandy are right. Like, the national media has been taking the opportunity to sort of look funny at the Falcons.
Because they don't believe in them.
But I don't, how can you blame them?
Yeah.
How can you blame them? Like, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not the defense attorney for the Atlanta Falcons. We just got to be honest about what we've seen. And the last 2 weeks are pretty embarrassing performances. Mm-hmm. There's been some good ones for sure, and they're certainly better than they've been. But, I mean, the bar was low, man. Like, the bar was low. And I still think that they'll win the division, and that's great. That means they go to the playoffs, and anything can happen from there. But they got to get a lot of stuff figured out between now and then. And now and when they play the Chargers in a week and a half from right now, before the expectation can be raised back up. The good news is there's still a lot of football left to be played.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can come up with some answers. Dave Archer will join us, like we said, at 11:40, like he always does on Wednesdays, and we'll pick his brain about what he saw Sunday and what they can do to try to fix it and all that good stuff. I'm with you as you look ahead to some of the matchups in college football on Saturday, except for there's one that is just going to be really, really fascinating.
Yes.
Because
ginormous.
As we get further and further along in the playoff rankings, again, grain of salt with all of it. None of it matters until the season is over. A lot of what they do is to get you to react, and they're doing a really good job of doing that. I mean, you know, Boise State's not going to get a bye, okay? It's just not going to happen.
But,
now, they're in the bracket last night, and I understand that, and I see the frustration that people have in seeing them there. There's just no way that the season will end, and a Group of Five team will be one of the four highest-ranked conference champions.
Why not?
Because in order for someone to win the Big 12, they have to beat better teams than Boise State will play. Although, I will say, one caveat, one little sneaky thing they did last night to maybe give Boise State a morsel of hope is UNLV was ranked 24th.
Right.
And Boise State would have to beat them to win the Mountain West Championship.
True.
So they would have one more ranked win on their resume. By the way, Indiana got a ranked win last night.
Yes,
because Illinois is now 25th.
Yes.
You know? So all the little things they do on the back end of the rankings matter too. They do all these things on purpose. Because there's 15 different teams that could be ranked between 20 and 25.
Right.
They put the teams where they put them for the purpose of controversy.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What they want.
You know what was funny? Because I heard, you know, I talked about it yesterday, because Heather Dinn, she's in there with them and knows more about this, can explain it more than anybody that I've seen. And she was saying, well, there's six new members on this committee now.
Okay.
Six new members, and everybody is not viewing it the same as the old members and everything like that. And just to see just the well, I guess this doesn't matter. I guess, well, this doesn't matter. I guess, well, stress and schedule. I guess, and I kept saying, like, damn. It's all going to play out. It really is. It's all going to play out. And I know you talk about where Georgia is and everything like that. Where would you want them to be? That was my thing. Where were they going to be? Can you put them in front of Ole Miss? No, I know we talked about it yesterday. You know, I think Alabama, oh, they beat Mercer, so they moved up three spots. Well, who moved out of there?
Right.
You know, and so I think there's a whole lot of things to it. As far as they, oh, well, this matchup, what the – Georgia's probably not going to play Penn State because Penn State probably going to move up.
Right.
And Georgia, you know, considering on what happens this week. It was just all funny yesterday. Just the madness.
Yeah.
Just of everybody being so up in just arms about this.
It can be funny.
It's funny to me.
Right. And
that's funny to me.
That's a perfectly, like, that's a healthy way to look at it.
It's funny to me.
I wouldn't even go that far. I'll just say fun. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, because you're right, so much is going to happen between now and the end of the season that is going to change it. Now, if you just want to think about the possibility of Georgia going to Penn State to play a college football playoff
game,
that's
going to be freaking awesome.
That's fun as hell.
It's going to be freaking awesome.
That would be incredible.
Yes.
Alabama going to Notre Dame to play a college ball playoff game would be incredible.
Yeah.
Ole Miss going to we'll get to Indiana in a minute, because that right there that I just did, and I was doing it tongue in cheek because I'm happy for them and I hope they keep winning, whatever. But they're starting to be a real problem for people.
Why?
Because people don't really want what they say they want. What they say they want, until it gets to now, is we want fairness. We want new people at the party. We want whatever, underdogs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
What you want, and this is fine. This is true of everyone, and what you want is this. What you want is your team to get into the playoffs.
Correct.
Okay? And then all the arguments that you make, even if they're pretty logical, they're biased towards making your team look good.
Obviously.
Which is fine. That's what college football is. This isn't geopolitics. It's not that big of a deal one way or the other. You are going to make whatever argument fits the narrative of your team to get into the playoff, which is fine. Even if they're reasonable,
right?
The other side has a reasonable argument as well. And Indiana's argument right now is, well, we just haven't lost
to
anybody.
But they have not.
I'm sorry that that's inconvenient to you.
The strength of schedule is ass.
But we're undefeated.
Yes, the strength of schedule is ass.
Yeah.
It is, all right? They have not played anybody.
And
but
a month
ago, they beat the hell out of everybody.
And a month ago when they had game day and they were undefeated and Cignetti's talking trash and all that stuff, everyone loves it. It's so fun.
Right.
But now they're in people's way. Now they're in a blue bloods way.
Yeah.
We don't want new bloods.
No.
We want what we're used to.
Get
we want our
here.
Teams in there, all right? And that's why, look, people are going to root for the thing that they view as best for their team, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of people rooting for Ohio State this weekend because they think Ohio State's getting in either way,
yes.
right?
Yep.
If Indiana wins on Saturday, Indiana's going to the playoff.
You're damn right they
and
are.
They may very well lose the Big Ten championship game, so then they're going to the playoff as an at-large, and that means maybe your team doesn't get in. Now, I don't know who you are or who your team is, but that might mean that your team that may have had an at-large chance to get in doesn't get in. And people don't like Indiana when they do stuff like
that. No, I mean, because
they don't mind if Notre Dame does it, which I don't know why.
No,
it's irritating.
No, because
they even play in the same state.
What did we talk about yesterday about Indiana? Nobody cares about Indiana football.
No.
Nobody cares about football. They're a blip team, that comes on the scene every now and then like that. And I don't know how I'm not going to take anything away because he's a damn good coach.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he's starting a whole new game.
I would bet against it.
But probably not.
I'm going to bet against
probably
it.
Probably not.
Yes, I'm going to bet against it. And so you view it from that standpoint. Yeah, they're in the way, but they've only done what they've been asked to do.
Yeah.
Go play football.
Sorry, we just won every game.
Now
beating the hell out of everybody.
Now, that dude, Ward.
Yes.
Is that his damn name?
Ward Emanuel.
That guy. I think that might
Ward Manuel.
I think that might be why some people are getting mad, because he's delivering the message. This dorky ass looking Jabba the Hutt fake body ass.
It's not the message, it's the messenger.
Yeah, it's how he looks. We don't have anything against Georgia. Okay. But it's just like him. It's him delivering it. His face and his body.
Who would you prefer to
be? It don't even matter. Not him.
Just not him.
Yeah, not him. He would suffocate in a damn turtleneck. You know what I mean? Like, he was suffocating. He put on a turtleneck. Job of the Hutt. But I just kept saying last night, because I didn't even watch the announcement.
Oh, neither did I.
Yeah, but I saw it. And I was like, Where should they be? Obviously, everybody wants to bring up the strength of schedule, strength of record. Are they not the same thing? Are they not?
They're not.
They're not. Okay.
Strength of schedule is not nearly as important as strength of record.
Are we sure?
Well, it shouldn't be. I think it shouldn't
be. But that's what I'm saying. Like, these, how many of them is it? 12? They all have different thought processes of thinking about things.
Right. Which, again, is the whole deal. Right. Like, we're trying to pick 12 teams, 5 get automatic bids,
right,
but 7 at-large bids through the eyes of 13 different humans,
yes,
that see things differently. That is what it is. Like, the entire system is inherently built on subjectivity.
Exactly.
Right? So
right, we didn't want the computers.
That's what's going to happen.
We didn't want the computers anymore. So then we had the 14, which is fine with me. I wish you would have stayed at 4.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, when your team is the one that gets left out, which ultimately is going to happen to a few fan bases, then that really, really sucks. But they love this. Like, the fact that everybody has a different thought process on it isn't a problem. That's a feature.
Yeah.
Because that means people argue about it and talk about it, and it gets more. It's no surprise college football is having its best season ever.
Yeah.
Like, and in terms of eyeballs.
Just because our team is a word. Don't mean you got to be throwing strays at everybody else. I was just like, damn. Indiana ain't done nothing but do what they're supposed to do.
Nope.
Win.
Nope. All they did was win all their games and not be someone you're used to.
Yeah. I mean, they're a 2-touchdown dog this weekend, which I think Ohio State's going to do that.
Yep.
I do think Ohio State's going to win that game big.
I hope they don't, though. I don't know. I really do actually like the underdog.
Yeah, you know why?
Because, I really
you know
actually
why?
Like
because,
the blue blood.
Because if they were in Washington way.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah.
If they were playing Washington on Sunday or Saturday, I would wish. But they already beat Washington.
Oh, that's right. That's
on
game
day.
Was there.
Yeah. Washington put up a good fight, though.
They did. What was the score?
It was 31-17. But it was tied in the fourth quarter. And then Will Rogers threw a pick six. And that was kind of that.
That's kind of a
kind of ended there.
I thought it worked better.
It's been okay.
Yeah.
He's been okay. It's not his fault. All right. We'll come back. We got there. We got to Washington. After it was all said and done, we got there. What's trending to kick off the show coming up next? This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now, this is not a prediction. This is just based on the rankings, how it would look to give you an idea. Conference champions would look like this: Oregon, Texas, Miami, and Boise State. Because of where Boise State is ranked, ahead of BYU from the Big 12. So right now, Boise State would, in fact, maybe there might be a ceiling on the ranking, Joey, but on the seeding, they're enough right now to get that other bye, and then BYU is the fifth team in with the automatic bid.
Yeah, so that's the explanation last night on ESPN, courtesy of Reese Davis. It's something we were just talking about during the break there, Randy, which is why would Boise State be the 4? Like, why would they get the bye? Because I didn't realize this until last night. I thought it was the 4 highest-ranked Power 4 conference champions. I just thought it would be SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC. It's just the 4 highest-ranked conference champions.
Right.
So, I mean, in this case, it would be the Mountain West conference champion. In another year, it could be the American, or it could be Sun Belt. I don't know. Like, it could be any of those teams, depending on who's the best team. But, yeah, if it ended like this, because BYU is currently the highest-ranked Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd be the 12 seed.
That's funny as hell.
It is funny as hell. Like, because first of all, like, in order for BYU or Colorado or Arizona State or whoever else to win the Big 12, they would have to beat each other, thus having another good win, and thus probably jumping Boise State in the rankings. I mean, there's chaos scenarios where this does happen,
right?
But it's pretty unlikely that it would happen.
It'd be so funny if it did.
It would be quite funny.
It'd be funny because,
if Georgia had to go play in the snow,
yep,
and Boise State's at home,
yeah,
like that's crazy.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Like, no offense, but you know, Georgia's better than Boise State.
Yes, we are.
You know?
Yeah, but that's the
I didn't want to offend all the Boise State listeners.
I mean, last time they came to Atlanta, they whipped their ass in Atlanta.
That's true.
Damn sure did.
That was Kellen Moore ago.
But I'm just, you know, it's just funny and it's weird because they need to change this. And this is going to happen. If you're talking about Boise State, they had to throw something out there first. I find it hilarious. I don't have a problem with this because I believe in the mentality is if you win, everything should happen if you win.
That's right.
You know, and if you lose, you're going to face the consequences for losing. That's just me. I understand the strength of schedule and who this team played and all these different things. And yeah, Georgia's better than everybody. Yeah, we are. But at the same time, we didn't do what we were supposed to do.
Right. At the end of the day, it's going to be based on people's opinions because not everybody plays the same schedule,
yep,
right? Like,
yep.
It's just, you know, different
that.
Conferences, different non-conference schedules. These teams are just going to play different schedules.
I saw that a lot. Well, Kirby needs to schedule easier wins. Why?
Well, they won the non-conference games.
Yeah. Like, Georgia needs to schedule some easier wins and easier schedule. Like, why?
They beat Clemson.
But I don't understand, one of their best
wins of the year.
Yeah, I don't understand why we need to do that. Why do we need to play?
That didn't make any sense.
We play UMass as we in.
That didn't make any sense.
We play Tennessee Tech or something.
Now, I could see Clemson fans saying, hey, let's not schedule Georgia anymore, because if they wouldn't have lost that game, say they played someone else.
Right.
We don't need to throw anyone under the bus. Someone else that they could have beaten. Then they'd be 9-1 right now, and they'd probably be ranked in front of Georgia.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, if they would have just not scheduled them, then they probably would be ranked in front of them, which is a flaw.
Yes.
Right?
It is.
But it's also the system.
Yeah. And I mean, the system, and it's all subjective amongst these 12 people, these 12 individuals who probably all have different eyes of football. Because I'm curious to know, is there a set criteria that they're supposed to judge off of? Meaning, okay, this is what we're looking for, these five things.
Yes.
Is that what everybody's looking at, those five things, or is it just what they view at the time?
Supposed to be. And the bottom line is supposed to be.
It can't be there.
The bottom line is supposed to be the 12 best teams.
Yes.
That's what they're supposed to be.
But it's, like, not, the, it's, be not, all, it's not the 12.
Of course it's not.
Yeah, it's not the 12 best.
Of course it's not.
No, it's definitely
not.
Because
then you get deserving in there.
Yeah.
And then what does deserving
mean? If it's
mean?
The 12 best teams, then there won't be no conferences at all.
Right.
Yeah, just let them play it out.
And maybe someday there won't be. I don't know.
Yeah, let them play it out. Just let everybody just play.
Yeah, because, look, eventually as we march closer and closer to this being professional football, I mean, there are people that would want that. Let's do it where there's – how many teams is an acceptable amount? 32. We have 32 NFL teams, right? Even they don't play the same schedules,
right?
But they play similar enough schedules, and then you're grouped with teams that play each other twice. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's one of the things about it that's fun, is everybody does play different schedules, and then you have to decide how you feel about Indiana, who's 10-0 in the Big Ten but hasn't really played anybody yet, or Georgia, who's 8-2 in the SEC and has played the hardest schedule in the country.
Right.
Like, it's up to you to decide how you feel.
Yep.
It's easy for me. I think Georgia's better than Indiana.
I don't even think they think Indiana's better than Georgia.
I don't think anybody thinks that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody thinks that at all.
But it is a reasonable argument to say that Indiana hadn't lost anybody.
And that's the biggest thing. They're undefeated. They're an undefeated Big Ten school, too.
But that also clearly doesn't matter, because last year, Florida State was undefeated.
Yep.
Conference champion,
yep,
at the end of the season, and they didn't get in.
But the optics, they lost the starting quarterback.
True.
They lost the starting quarterback.
Of course, there's context.
Yeah, there's context and everything. And so that's why I keep saying the same thing. It's like, it's going to play out. Georgia has to play UMass. They have to beat Georgia Tech.
Yep.
They're going to be in. Georgia wins those two games, they're not getting bumped out. Now, they might not host a playoff game, but they're going to be in if they win both their games.
Unless, and here's what Lane Kiffin is talking about. Let's hear Lane Kiffin talking about the SEC championship game.
It's changed. The conference championship, you know, could have a big impact both ways for people. So I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling from some other coaches that, you know, they don't want to be in it. And, you know, the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely I mean, that's a really big
yeah,
risk.
I mean, we mentioned this yesterday.
We both understand the logic of what he said.
Yes.
Where do you stand on that?
Go to hell.
Yeah. Come on.
Go to hell.
Like,
no, I want to be SEC.
It's anti-competitive.
Yes, I want to win. And I don't. I hate to say because I don't know Lane, but I mean,
I don't blame his logic is fine.
Yeah, but I mean, if
I just don't like
if Ole Miss gets in, I mean, I'm sorry. If Ole Miss has a chance to get in, are you not going to play your guys?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of course you are, because you better win it because they get two losses.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, are you not going to play your guys? I don't get that part of the logic and all and everything like that. But I do know and understand winning pretty much cures all.
Yep.
It does. And they got a log jam and all those different things with 8-2 SEC teams. I just believe if Georgia wins these last two games, they're going to be in.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in.
Definitely. Yeah. Unless there's a scenario in which they play a third game that's not a playoff game. That's the SEC championship game. Because there are scenarios that have Georgia in the SEC championship game. We won't detail them because they're complicated.
I got time.
Like, it's really complicated. Yeah. Most likely, just based on, like, if favorites win and stuff like that, it's going to be Texas and Alabama.
Right.
If A&M beats Texas in that final game of the year, it'll be A&M and Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch of other scenarios that can play out, which would involve Georgia playing a number of different potential teams in the SEC championship game. I mean, I just don't think any team that gets to the SEC championship game with two losses and loses it and has three is going to get into the playoff. But I think that they probably should.
Yeah, no, they definitely should.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of put it out there yesterday, what teams can do that. And I only had two. And I truly believe that only Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah.
And with three could probably find a way to get in.
And Alabama will probably be in the game.
Yes.
All they got to do is beat Oklahoma and Auburn, and then they're in the game.
Right.
And they'll probably play Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose to Texas, then they'll be 10-3. Right?
I think they're in.
Maybe.
I think they're in.
But what if Indiana's sitting there with one loss?
Right?
Probably.
I don't know with Ward, though. What the hell's his name?
Ward Manuel.
Yeah, I don't know about Ward, though, because he seems like he got some influence. He's very intimidating. You remember, I mean, if you ever watched Jabba the Hutt on, you know what?
Yeah, I remember him from Star Wars.
Yeah, he don't look like Jabba.
He had Princess Leia chained up. Like,
you remember the pizza man on Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him, too.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. Yeah, so he has an intimidating element about him.
Now, he's a Big Ten guy.
I know.
So maybe that's where you're going with that. Yeah.
He'll keep it.
But see, that's where Indiana becomes very inconvenient. It's like, well, we only have one loss.
I saw
that we do play in the Big Ten.
They still might get in.
Like, to hell with you.
Because that's what I'm thinking. Where are they at now? Five?
Yeah.
Okay, say for instance they do play a close game. And they say for instance, because this is something that everybody keeps talking about, style of win and how many points you lose by anything like that. Say they lose on last second field goal to Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah.
That's not going to drop them out of the 10, really.
It shouldn't.
But we don't know.
It shouldn't, but I don't know. I mean, Penn State did that, basically, and they're four.
Yeah, and Penn State.
Penn State's ahead of Indiana right now.
Where did Penn State drop? Because when they played Ohio State, it was a 2-3 matchup?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I know they fell a couple. Like, and what's Penn State's great win?
None.
You know what I mean?
None.
Their best win is, I guess, Illinois, who's now ranked again.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But I mean, right?
Okay.
But they're Penn State, and Indiana's not.
What does that mean? Penn State ain't won nothing. But they are Penn State. It's a bigger brand.
I know.
It's a bigger brand.
What does it mean?
I think Penn State,
it shouldn't mean anything.
I think Penn State's a good football team.
I do. I think Indiana's a good football team.
I think they're a good football team. But I want to see. But I saw Indiana play against a great Ohio State team, and they were hanging in there.
Penn State.
I saw Penn State play against a great Ohio State team.
And that's what.
Some dumb interceptions and all those different things.
And that's why this is fun to do, but we're about to see it on Saturday.
Yeah. Is that a big noon kickoff game?
It is.
Unfortunately.
They're so tired of that already.
Yes.
They try to talk to. The Big Ten tried to talk to college football about it, and they're like, that's a postseason conversation.
Right.
You guys decided you wanted to own noon.
Yep.
All right. The SEC and the Big Ten, they have owned 3:30 and 7:30 for years.
Right.
You guys decided you wanted to take over noon. It was a dumb decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your fault.
Shouldn't have done it. You want to hear Jesse Bates talk about what the team needs to do during the bye week?
Let me hear it.
All right, here he is. Silent.
Rod's doing a good job of, you know, with the scheduling, keeping guys informed. I'm sure some guys will go home, some guys will stay back and get healthy. But whatever it is, we just need to, you know, everybody need to go back and reflect on, you know, what can we do better? How can we add value to this team in the second half of the season. Because like I said, we're going to be playing some tough games. And if we want to get to the playoffs, we got to play at our best.
That's always the thing about bye week is how you spend it. Like, are you going to do – you don't want to do nothing too crazy. But you might want to get away or something like that. Go to the beach, hang out, things like that. But like a party trip to Vegas or something like that, that would not be the best thing for a bye week.
Maybe if you beat the Broncos 38-6.
Then you could probably do that.
It just feels like – I don't know. Maybe this isn't how it works. But I just feel like
– Well, Andy.
Does it change how you – approach the bye week based on what happened right before it?
Well, Andy, I take that back because we did do a bye weekend hard in Vegas, but we were 1-9.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were 1-9.
Yeah, I mean, at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Like, hey, fellas, let's go to, man, you know what? Blank this, man.
Let's unwind.
Let's unwind. Let's go to Vegas, man. Yeah, let's go to Vegas. It's a hell of a trip.
I bet it was.
Hell yeah, it was.
That was the Dolphins?
No.
The Dolphins were never 1-9. Yeah. That was the Rams.
Damn sure was. Yeah. What a time.
Plus, he lived in Missouri.
Yeah,
so.
Short flight.
Yeah.
Let's do Vegas, baby.
You and me are going to do Vegas.
We damn sure are.
It's not going to be a bye week.
Yeah, we won't do Vegas.
Monday Night Football. I just got my flight information yesterday.
Is it in the email?
Yeah.
I might want to check my email.
Yep. It's in there. Getting to Vegas a little earlier on Sunday than I thought. Getting to Vegas a little earlier on Sunday than I thought.
Yeah, red eye.
No, not a red eye. Just I didn't know I was going to be there that early, but I'm happy to.
Okay.
This is a little more time in Vegas.
Yeah, let me check my schedule.
A little more time in Vegas. All right. Dave Archer is going to join us next. We'll ask him what he thinks the Falcons need to do on the bye week to improve, obviously, and certainly get his reaction to what happened on Sunday against the Broncos as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, hump day. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer.
Ready for the bye?
Ready for the bye.
Yeah.
I didn't know Boston had a song called that. All their songs are so appropriate for the discussion of the week. Dave Archer joins us on Wednesdays at this time to talk Falcons. Arch, how are you?
Good up, Dave.
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Obviously, still kind of unpacking what happened on Sunday and with the bye ahead and what needs to get fixed and all that. I thought, and I agree with what he said, and it's the right thing to say, but Raheem said Sunday, we won't let this loss define us. How would you define that loss, though?
Well, it wasn't good. There's no question. I mean, doesn't take 5 beta kappa to figure out they didn't play very good. In a lot of areas, virtually all the areas, the one thing you can button up is Younghoe Koo looked fine. You know, Younghoe not through. So everybody was worried about Younghoe Koo can throw that in the trash heap. He hit one for 41 and 51. He's the only guy to do anything for you. As far as trying to figure out what went on and stuff like that, I do think you can define some of it because of what happened defensively with some of the guys that weren't on the field. I do think that the D. Alford injury was huge. They don't really have a backup nickel. There's not really somebody can do that. Now, as it turns out, they may have found one. Natron Brooks, I think, is a guy that needs to get more opportunities. He's a guy that looks like he's got a two-way go, and by that I mean, you know, that's a hard area to cover. Randy will tell you that, you know, those nickels, you know, as a corner, you can use the boundary as an extra defender to a certain extent. But as a corner, as a nickel, you've got a two-way go. You got guys going in motion. They're off the ball. You can't really jam them. That's a tough place to play, you know. And I thought that Atlanta got touched up in the middle of the field a good bit, throwing the football. You made life really easy for Bo Nix. Bo Nix really settled in and had a – by the way, I'm in an airport, so just so you know, just want to let you know.
you getting started on your bye week early,
Dave? Yeah, bye week vacation.
Oh, yeah, I'm headed to Phoenix, baby, to go see my son.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But anyway, so I thought that could be defined by some of it. Now, that doesn't help you on the offensive side of the football. There's no question about the fact that there's some stuff they're going to have to work through and try to get figured out. I mean, Denver was a team that you knew defensively could rush the passer, so it was going to take, you know, a good bit. I thought Zach was really good early on. I thought that, and I don't know whether they took some of it away, but I don't know if you noticed, Randy, some subtle little motions where you'd have a tight slot to one side of the field and you'd motion the inside guy outside. Yep. Of the guy that was already outside, and all of a sudden they tried to bump coverage and guys freed up. That's how Drake caught that pass down there close that got him all the way down you know, Drake uncovered because he motioned outside and then ran the slant back to the inside. You got him the football, and he got all the way down to five. Now, unfortunately, he was in illegal motion. He turned upfield too early. And that's another thing that they're going to have to really settle in on. And I know you guys have the sound. Jesse Bates, I thought, was pretty good after the game. Jesse talked about how, you know, we've got to, you know, sit down and think about what we have been doing wrong that we can eliminate. And they're doing some things to themselves that their opposition isn't doing to them, that if they don't fix them, then it's going to be a long six games.
Dave, when you talk about, you know, the bye week and getting, like you said, we just played Jesse Bates' clip when you talked about before we had you on and everything. And what, as a coaching staff, and I'm talking about Rob, because they ain't going away. They're going to sit here and try and fix this thing. What's the first thing you think they need to do if you're sitting in that coaching meeting room trying to express to the coaches what we the first thing we got to do to get this thing right?
Well, defense, there's you know, you're looking at two different sides of the ball, but defensively, you've got to make things a lot less or a lot more complicated for the quarterback.
Right.
When you can turn and throw a screen to the outside and the guy is virtually untouched for 10 or 15 yards, that you got to change that. Now, again, some of that might have to do with guys being banged up. I think Landman and Caden Ellis deserve Purple Hearts. I know both those guys are playing you know, and then they're not going to say anything, but I know they're not playing at anywhere near full strength. Maybe three-quarter strength. So their ability to run and then make plays when they get there, I thought that was evident in the game. I think they're worn down because they don't have a lot of depth there. JT Bertrand's been on the IR been out of play with the head injury, and, of course, Troy Anderson hasn't been available. So you've been really thin at linebacker. Those guys are taking virtually every snap. You're trying to sub in a defensive back or something to play kind of that nickel linebacker spot. But those guys are running on empty. So this week comes perfect for them to help heal up and maybe get their minds refreshed and stuff like that. But the first thing for me, Randy, getting back to your question, would be you got to find some way to make a quarterback uncomfortable. And now, obviously, the obvious thing is to rush the passer. Well, you've done some of that. You haven't been overly successful with it. Obviously, the numbers would indicate that. I do think they've pushed the quarterback off his spot more than people are willing to realize. Now, they didn't do it this weekend against Knicks, but he got really comfortable. Too many easy, quick, easy throws. That would be something I would try to address is to try to take some of that away, make him hold the ball longer and help the pass rush out a little bit. On the offensive side of the football, there's no reason why you shouldn't be operating. It's stupid penalties, holding penalties, hands of the face, something like that, that have been derailing their drives. Yeah.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, reacting to the game Sunday and looking ahead to the six games after the bye. You kind of hinted at some of it there, Dave, and I know we don't know. We'll have to see when guys get back and where everyone's health is at. But just kind of from what you know about what some of these injuries are, who would you expect to be getting back after the bye week?
Well, I think Bertrand should be close to being ready to go. The Troy Anderson one is interesting because, you know, they kind of got Troy back to the spot. And then if – I'm sure Randy saw it. You may have saw it too, Andy. He gets in the second half there. And the only place that New Orleans made in the second half of the game 2 games ago was they ran a three-count screen to Kamara to the right, in the right flat area. And Troy had him. Troy was on him. But he threw a little shake on him. And I think Troy hurt his, you know, re-injured, or at least to a certain degree, might have re-injured his knee that has kept him out for the last couple of weeks. And I don't know where that is. I wouldn't even profess to know. Mm-hmm. Those guys, I'm not in that realm, but it certainly seemed like it limited. He didn't get back in the game after that. So they're running it now. You know, is Rashawn Evans a guy they've signed and then not signed and then had back on? That's a guy that led you in tackles 2 years ago at over 150 tackles. Do you need to, you know, sign the former Alabama Crimson Tide member to get him back on the field so you can rotate some of those guys in? Or they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to go find somebody. But I feel like those guys have yeoman's work. They've played their rear ends off, but I just think they're out of gas right now.
Dave, who needs to be more active on defense? And I mean, when I was saying get active on defense, and on offense, who do you think needs to get involved a little bit more?
Who do I think from a personnel standpoint should be on the field more?
No. I'm talking about needs to get active. Needs to, hey, it's go time now. This is by, I know all of them, but if you can give me like on offense.
I know you're talking about Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
I thought Judon has been active in the last couple of games. I think that he's had some push and been around the quarterback. So I think that there's been some of that. But yeah, he's going to have to turn it up. I think that Ebikadie, all those guys. Well, you can point to one guy defensively. You know as well as I do. It's about 11 guys playing together in the back end and the front end, and they all have to turn it up. I don't think one person changes things. They have to turn it up. On the offensive side of the football, I mean, it's probably going to fall on Kirk. Mm-hmm. You know, Kirk's going to have to take it to another level. We've seen what he can do and certainly saw in his career, and we've seen it this season. But he's had some moments where they've struggled around him a little bit, and he's going to have to be the beacon that they're going to look at. He's going to make great decisions, not going to – You're at the point now where you've given. There's no more mulligans. You know, you've got a two game lead essentially, one game lead physically, but two games essentially because you've beaten Tampa twice. But you can't give any more away. You know, and you've got two probably playoff teams coming
up
next.
Yep. Right, right.
Arch, we appreciate it.
Safe
enjoy the time in the desert.
Safe travels, Dave.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you later. Take care.
Dave Archer, there, Falcons radio network analyst, former Falcons quarterback, every Wednesday at this time. And look, I mean, you know, he said it.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can really say.
I mean, that's
at this point, they played bad. We all saw it.
And move on.
Yeah.
You're going to have to anyways, but yeah, they got to.
Not only that, but like they played bad. We all saw it. Okay. What's the fix? I don't know.
No, but but the thing, that's why I was, that's why I was asking about they have got to stop making it so easy. Because, you know, a lot of times sometimes it looks so hard for them offensively.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That tends to be a really good way to analyze if you think teams are kind of similar. Just look at how easy they get the stuff they're trying to get and how hard the stuff you're trying to get is. Because everything the Falcons do, especially on defense, is almost impossible.
Yeah. And it's like, and we talked about yesterday as far as maybe some of you guys coming back, getting fresher, all these different things.
It'll help.
Oh, no.
It'll help.
It won't hurt.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It won't. Like how we were talking to the United players about the time off and everything between that. You know, this won't hurt. It won't hurt to get you some rest. It won't hurt because the thing about it, and I love what Jesse said, because one thing I know about Jesse ain't going nowhere. Jesse's going to be in that damn building every day getting treatment. Obviously, he'd get there late, take his baby to school and everything like, well, hell, some Thanksgiving break, too. No, that's next week.
I know anyway. Next week is going to be a real gauntlet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. They don't have – no kids are going anywhere.
Oh,
everything's closed.
That's what the crazy thing. I'm like, when y'all
what do you mean to get the whole week off?
The whole – do we got Wednesday off?
Yeah, Wednesday.
No, we got Thursday off.
Then we got Thursday off, but I think they would give us like an hour release early on Wednesday.
That's what it was.
Before the holiday.
Yeah, man.
Now they get the whole week?
Yeah, dog. I'll be looking at – but oh, boy, you want to know something that was – wait, you remember the conversation you had about, you know, that – because I don't like to give my wife no hair no when I have days off.
Sure, yeah.
Ooh, the look I got yesterday, boy.
When what came out?
When I was like, oh, yeah. But I asked her, when is Samson done with school? She was like, he's out all next week. I said, oh, man. So I can hang out with him. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. She said, what? And you didn't tell me? I was like, why? So you could schedule us to go some damn
way? Yeah, I was going
to
say, how quick did the tablet come out?
Oh, boy. She was hot.
What did she use? Expedia? What did she use? Trip planner? Trip advisor?
Hot.
So where are you guys going?
I ain't going nowhere.
All right.
Damn it.
There you go.
Kids come home from college?
Yeah.
Kids come home from college. We ain't going to sit back. Daddy going to fry up a turkey or something?
Beautiful. Yeah. Enjoy the house.
But she,
you guys have a wonderful house.
Ooh, she hot.
Enjoy the house. Yeah, so my wife at her job, like they have to win the lottery to get holidays off because what they do. So she won the Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that meant the whole week of Christmas.
Yeah.
I just thought that was Christmas Day,
right.
The holiday. So she has the whole week off. And she told me that yesterday or the day before, whatever. She's like, yeah, so you should take it off too. I was like, oh, all right. I didn't know that. We're in negotiations.
Yeah, but just say I don't want to.
We're working on it.
Yeah, you're going to be off.
We're working on it.
Two Christmases.
Where are we going is the question. Who knows? Where can you drive to? And anyway, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.